the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We just deserve your present eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sin. As a called, ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On the insert, we chant the intro.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God.
Christ always is most in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together.
recognize your goodness, give thanks for your compassion, and praise your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the 18th Sunday after Pentecost is from Ruth, chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
now chant Psalm 111, whole verse by whole verse, responsibly.
Praise the Lord, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. In the company of the upright, in the congregation.
According to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. As they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day, 846. Of this faith. What does this faith that can move mulberry trees actually look like? It starts like this. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the coming Passover. At this point, he is traveling somewhere between Samaria and Galilee, and as usual, people are wanting something from Jesus. This time, it is 10 lepers who want something from Jesus. And what do they want? They want mercy. The lepers, who must stand at a distance as to not spread their uncleanliness and disease around, shout from afar, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Unlike the previous leper in Luke chapter 5, these lepers do not ask for cleansing, but they ask for mercy. They are asking for salvation. We too often ask the same thing in our liturgy when we sing the Kyrie Eleison at the beginning of the service. We sing, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We too are asking to be saved from our troubles, woes, and infirmities of the body and of the soul. And why wouldn't these lepers ask for salvation? To be a leper was to be an outcast. Your skin is literally rotting off of your body, and God's law declares you unclean as long as you have the disease. That means no one can touch you, you cannot enter the temple in Jerusalem, and you are an outcast in your community. Do you have a wife and kids? Well, you're not seeing them while you had leprosy. Had an occupation that fed yourself and your family? Not anymore, you don't. You wish to enter the temple so you can offer a sacrifice to God for the forgiveness of your sins? Forget it. Leprosy was an earthly hell for the body and for the soul, for the one who was afflicted with it. The only people you can associate with are other lepers, other people who are just as miserable and unclean as you are. So it made sense that there is this small gathering of lepers in this little village. And for these 10 lepers to cry out to Jesus to save them, well, it makes a lot of sense. So how does Jesus respond to their plea for mercy? When he saw them, he said, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Firstly, Jesus sees them. You might think, well, of course he'd see them. They're yelling right at him at a distance, probably right in front of him. Yes, but he could always ignore them. You see, God's law in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14 explains that if a person has leprosy, they are unclean and must be left well alone. Jesus would be doing his civic duty by ignoring them. You do not ever associate yourself with a leper so that you reduce the chances of you becoming unclean. So naturally, you ignore them. You look away from them. Well, Jesus doesn't look away. He sees them. He looks right at them in their affliction and their suffering and tells them to go show themselves to the priest. And this is a very curious thing to do, seeing as Jesus could cleanse them first and then have them show themselves to the priest. That's what he did for the leper in Luke chapter 5. He cleansed him and then told him to go to the priest to present himself as clean. But here, all Jesus does is tell them to go to the priest. But why present themselves to the priest? Levitical law states that a leper can only be restored to the community and declared clean if a priest says as such. And where do you go to find a priest? Well, you can go to several places, but prominently, you'd go to the temple in Jerusalem. But that's quite a hike from this little village that is between Samaria and Galilee. These lepers had two options. Believe that Jesus will or has healed them and make the 100 or so mile trip on foot in the blazing sun to Jerusalem to see a priest, or doubt that it will happen. Who knows what was going through their minds? What if we're not healed when we get there? Why journey all that way if it doesn't come true? Or how can I be sure that Jesus is speaking the truth, that he will uphold his promise? Well, all 10 of them take it on faith that Jesus will heal them. So they get walking. And what happens? Their faith pays off. As they went, they were cleansed. Every single one of them was cleansed of leprosy, which means they could have their lives back, their families back, their jobs back. They had faith that they'd be healed, and they were right. They could go to Jerusalem, present themselves to the priest, and make an offering to God for this great miracle. But one doesn't go to the temple. Instead, he runs back, falls at the feet of Jesus, and praises God in a loud voice, and thanks Jesus for this great work. Luke now does something interesting with the narrative. He has been withholding one of the most significant details for this account up until this point. And that detail is that this man was a Samaritan. That's right, a man who is pretty much a Gentile returned to Christ to give him praise. This Samaritan was also different from the other nine lepers in more than just his lineage. He was also different in faith. For a while, these 10 lepers were all the same. They were sick, rotting away, and isolated. But as they were journeying to Jerusalem together, they were healed of this disease. Christ had healed them on the way, and it's clear by this one leper coming back that the thought to return to thank Jesus must have crossed their minds. They were all now healed men and have that in common. Or at least that's what they should have thought. Instead, the nine Jewish men kept going to the temple, leaving the Samaritan to go back to Jesus. The nine probably thought, why should we follow you? You're a Samaritan. Go back to your mountains and praise God on your mountains, or go back to your priest. The nine had temporary faith. The nine, very much reminiscent of the parable of the sower several weeks ago, the nine were the ones who received this healing word with joy, and for a while they believed. But because they had no root in this word, they fell away. Only the Samaritan had a saving faith. He received the healing word of Jesus, took root in it, and held fast to it. He held so strongly to it that he chose to leave the majority who thought it was right to forego giving thanks, and he went back to Jesus. So how does Jesus respond to this Samaritan? He says, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Jesus is astounded. His own people, the ones who were supposed to recognize who he was, forgot all about him and the miracle that he had performed. But this Samaritan, this foreigner slash Gentile, recognized who he was. We can be sure of that, too, because instead of going back to the mountains to worship God, or to the temple to worship God, the Samaritan worships God at the feet of Jesus. He knew exactly who Jesus was. And Jesus commends the Samaritan for this, and tells him to get up and go his way, and that his faith has made him well. But Jesus isn't telling him to just go wherever he wishes. The phrase, "go your way," can be better rendered as "journey on." Jesus tells him to journey onwards. But journey to where? To Jerusalem. To join Jesus and the crowd of followers on their way to Jerusalem for the ultimate cleansing miracle, the death and resurrection of Jesus. The Samaritan has not only been saved from his disease, but has been invited to partake in witnessing the salvation of all of mankind in the coming days. The 9 other lepers will get to be examined by a priest and offer up their sacrifice to God of their own. But this Samaritan has been examined by the greatest high priest, who will offer up the ultimate sacrifice on his behalf. And we can draw a lot of comparisons between the Samaritan and ourselves. We too also cry out that Jesus would have mercy on us and would cleanse us from our sins. And Jesus doesn't ignore us, even though he has every right to do so. Jesus looks right at us in our misery, in our uncleanliness, and has mercy on us. Instead of giving us the harshness of the law that we are doomed to be stuck in our rotting, sinful bodies, he instead proclaims grace to us and gives us the gospel. The Samaritan, thanks to faith, has received healing from leprosy and will receive healing from his sins. We have the same faith. The same faith that can move mulberry trees. The same faith that receives the forgiveness of sins. Jesus even tells us the same exact thing that he told the Samaritan. Rise up and journey on. Your faith has made you well. But where are we going? Journey to where?
to the same place the Samaritan went, to Jerusalem. But not the Jerusalem in Israel here on this earth. No, we are journeying to the new Jerusalem, where the King of Glory can be found. And just like the Samaritan, we don't make this trip alone. Jesus goes along with us, leading us there. And we are joined by all the other Christians with us on this journey. As we travel from this life to the next, Jesus journeys with us, refreshing us with his body and his blood right here at his altar. And not only does Jesus tell us to journey on, he also tells us that our faith has made us well. Made us well from what? From our sins. In the waters of our baptism, Christ cleanses us from the leprosy of sin. The sin that was isolating us from the Father. The sin that prevented us from loving our spouses, our children, and our neighbors as we should. The sin that has defiled all of our vocations. Christ has given us our lives back. And we receive all of that through faith given by the Holy Spirit. Jesus, in his mercy, bore the leprosy of our sin in his own body on the cross. He became unclean, cursed, and punished for our sins. He now clothes us with his cleanliness, his blessing, and grace in his righteousness. He became sin for us. And in him, we now have the righteousness of Christ. No more sin leprosy. Now that we are clothed in clean white robes, as his saints. And just like the Samaritan who felt outnumbered by the other nine, we too may feel outnumbered by the world around us. That the majority would rather go to some other temple than to the feet of Jesus, to ignore the goodness and grace of Jesus Christ to pursue something else. But we are not alone. We are joined by all the saints who have gone on before us, and have Christian brothers and sisters all around us, right here in this church and around the world. We are all walking with Jesus to the New Jerusalem to witness the greatest miracle, the eradication of sin in our bodies and souls once and for all. On that last day, he will do as we pray every day in the Lord's Prayer. He will deliver us from evil. After the Samaritan was healed, Jesus tells him to rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. He is telling the Samaritan to go with him to Jerusalem, the city of kings, to witness a greater miracle than the healing of leprosy, Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus tells us the same thing. He tells us to journey with him to the new Jerusalem because our faith has made us well and has cleansed us from our sins. The journey for the Samaritan and all others who followed Jesus to Jerusalem took many miles and days to get there. All the while, Jesus taught them as they went. And for us, we follow Jesus to the new Jerusalem, not through miles, but through time. And some of us have been waiting quite a long time to finally get to the new Jerusalem. Some of us have been waiting 90 plus years to finally arrive, and who knows how much further we have until we get there. But Jesus walks with us, and he teaches us too, by his word and by his sacraments on the way there. So as we journey to the new Jerusalem, and at times when that old sinful nature gets the better of you, or you begin to feel discouraged at your own feebleness of your body, do as the Lord has commanded us to do. To rise up, to journey on, because your faith has made you well, and it will sustain you all the way to the gates of that new Jerusalem. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
We continue page 158. We stand to speak the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light,
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. Gracious Lord, give us thankful hearts to not forget your kindness and mercy, but in a giving spirit be preserved from all selfishness and have true faith in Christ and his mercy, and to love you above all and love our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, bless all those who speak your name here in this congregation, Trinity Lutheran Church, and administer your sacraments. Bless all those who train in church work vocations and callings at our colleges, universities, schools, and seminaries. Bless all church workers as they go forward in service to you. Continue to bless all the ministry of Trinity Lutheran Church, and also bless Abigail Young as she serves you in the Dominican Republic. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all, your servant Ruth faithfully cared for Naomi in her latter years. Bless all of us in our vocations and callings with wisdom and compassion and care for all who are in need. Give us humble spirits to accept assistance and to assist all who are in need. This week be with Bode Hughes, Rylan Rohde, Pastor Chad Dietrich, Sandra Ludmark, Chuck Marr, David Meinke, Linda Sepulveda, Zach Favors, Greg Wells, Hart Brown, Alan Hanger as they celebrate their baptism and birthday, and bless Alan and Kim Hanger as they celebrate their anniversary. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, you provide for all that we need in this body and life, including health and order. Watch over all who exercise authority in our nation. Give them integrity, justice, and compassion. Grant peace for Syria, for Israel, for Palestine, and the Ukraine, and the people afflicted there. And be with Calvin, Eli, Daniel, Gabe, Mike, and Alex as they serve in the military. Lord, in your mercy. O God of all help, you hear the cries of the righteous, and you deliver us from all of our troubles. Remember those who cry to you for mercy and healing. Be with Raymond Sendelbach, Deborah Ward, Betty Tinney, Mike Knox, Johnny Eisenbrown, Pastor Lee Hagen, Sally McNeil, Gary Hughes, and all who are in need of healing, strength, and mercy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, and with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Amen.
At this time, we will now gather the offerings, and as we do, please take the attendance pad at the end of the pew, fill it out, tear the sheet out, and then please put it in the basket and the narthex. You may be seated for the offerings.
continue on page 159, we stand to sing the offertory.
Amen.
body of Christ, the body of Christ. Take a deep breath. The body of Christ, the body of Christ.
Thank you.
strength and you preserve you in the faith, body, and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Canticle page 164, we stand to sing.
To you, the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.